Tonight we are here to confront lies that masquerade as truth, and accusations which are intended actually to inflame rather than to inform. This is a debate which twists the language of justice into a weapon of hate. These claims don't only defame Israel, but they actually insult the memory of true victims of the heinous crimes of genocide and apartheid. And this motion has a reckless disregard for history, law, and truth. These allegations aren't critiques of policies, they're assaults, and above all else, they're an appeal to prejudice rather than reason. They assume that you will believe them because you have been primed by previous slurs against the state of Israel. But I am here tonight to appeal to your sense of reason. I hope that you are better than that you are smarter than that, and that you are more open to hearing different views than that. We will dismantle those falsehoods and expose the hypocrisy and malice of those who wield them. But first, I must begin by addressing the very organisation and nature of this debate. The title itself is an outrage, and the speakers are possibly the most aggressive people who the President could have invited.
Not to mention the audience.
Debate is meant to be a form of discussion that will help people understand one another's point of view.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Debate is designed to enlighten, but this one isn't. It's designed to antagonise for your entertainment. But I'm not here to entertain you. This isn't my first encounter with this sort of vitriol in this chamber. When I was a student here some 23 years ago, the President then invited the infamous Holocaust denier David Irving to come and speak. The invitation was eventually rescinded after an uproar, but not before I experienced overt and explicit anti-Semitism in the form of jeers and laughter like that in this very room, more or less where that gentleman over there is sitting. Today's president invited a man who justifies the atrocities of October the 7th. Unfortunately, he was too scared to be here tonight, and that psychopath will be here tomorrow instead, unchallenged by debate.
Shame!
We are left instead with someone who called for normalising massacres as the status quo, someone who called Vladimir Zelensky a Nazi promoting Zionist, and called to wipe off the state of Israel from the map, and somebody who called Jews sleazy thieves.
Shame.
Clearly, shame. People interested in conflict resolution and peaceful coexistence. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Shame.
So here I am again in this very room, once more confronted by plenty of hatred directed at Jews. These accusations are grotesque, they're not honest criticisms, and they are indeed aimed at the Jewish state. Claims of apartheid and genocide twist history's darkest crimes and use them as weapons against Israel. The accusers themselves are actually guilty of the crimes they allege Israel is committing. I have three exceptional colleagues with me tonight who will help me in making this case. Two Arabs with personal experience and biography which will debunk these false allegations of apartheid and genocide, and a legal expert who speaks with international law authority. As for me, I am a proud Jew. My late father was a Holocaust survivor. He was hidden by Catholic clergy in Italy from a regime that sought to deport him for extermination simply because of his race and religion. That is genocide. That is apartheid. And it bears no resemblance to the lies being peddled against Israel tonight. So let's begin with some definitions, which Mr. Alkurd declined to give. We need to look at the 1948 Genocide Convention and the 1973 Apartheid Convention. These will give us legal definitions, but remember, they're not interested in law. They're interested in big slurs to do big damage. Genocide requires acts intended to destroy in whole or in part a racial, ethnic, national, or religious group. Apartheid entails inhuman acts committed with the intent of establishing and maintaining domination by one racial group over another. Legally, both these crimes hinge on intent. Specific, documented, unmistakable intent. This is not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of law. There is no policy of racial discrimination, no intent to destroy. You will find no documentation of Israeli meetings at government level planning any such thing. The Nazis at their Wannsee conference planned what they called the final solution to the Jewish question. But you will find no Israeli equivalent. You know what you will find? Look in the New York Times. You'll find the minutes of 10 meetings. You will find in the New York Times the minutes of 10 meetings from Hamas and their Iranian backers and Hezbollah planning what they called the big plan. That is, the genocidal attack that took place on the 7th of October, 2023. In Rwanda in 1994, radio broadcasts directed civilians to murder their neighbours with machetes. 800,000 people were killed in 100 days. During the Holocaust, my family were subject to racial laws which discriminated against them, deported people for extermination. In Gaza, Israel has no such aim, no such plan, no such action. Instead, Israel does go to extraordinary lengths to try to avoid civilian deaths. It cancels airstrikes when there is a risk of excessive civilian deaths. There are plenty of documented instances. It issues warnings before airstrikes. Hamas, on the other hand, does hide its weapons, its control centres, in schools, in mosques, in universities, in hospitals.
Order. The speaker will be heard in silence.
Israel has provided 700,000 tons of food to Gaza during this war. That is a daily average. That is a daily average of 3,200 calories per person. The NHS in this country.
Order!
Excuse
order.
Me.
The speaker is excited to be heard in silence and to be.
No, they're cursing. That's different. They're cursing. That's different.
Yes.
They need to get out.
If she doesn't get out, if she doesn't get out, all of us go out.
Bye.
I will remind the member that there will be no recording. Could I have order, please? The speaker will continue. John, please finish.
I might just say that I understand there are plenty of people in this room who don't agree with us, who don't like us. But this esteemed establishment is meant to be a bastion of free speech, discussion, and debate. And this example is not any of those things. And I urge all of you, I'm here to tell you my side of an argument. I also attended this university, I was a student here, and I understand that part of the experience of being a student is to be challenged by thoughts and facts and information that you may not agree with or you may not like. But to shout like that, to abuse a speaker who is being respectful and giving you their side of an argument, is not the way to achieve better knowledge or understanding of anything. I will give all of the proposition speakers their due. Israel has provided 700,000 tons of food to the people of Gaza, which is 3,200 calories per Gazan citizen per day on average. And that is, whether you like it or not, above the NHS recommended amounts for men in this country. Gazans are receiving more food per day than the world average during the war. Madam, if you have a point of information, stand up and make it. Stand up and make it.
On a point of order, you may not speak unless the speaker recognises you. Please let the speaker finish.
I'm letting her speak. What would you like to say, madam? I'm not. The thing is, just because you say so doesn't mean it's true. The reason there are people who are going without food in Gaza is because Hamas stole the food. No, thank you. The UN said that 90 trucks were hijacked last week, and even the BBC reported it. No, thank you. Israel has vaccinated 97% of the Gazan population against polio during this war. You did not catch the Nazis doing that. No. Just because you dislike losing an unnecessary war you started does not make something genocide. The apartheid claim, no thank you. The apartheid claim similarly collapses under scrutiny. Arab citizens in Israel vote, hold office, and serve as judges. Arab judge Salim Jubran sent a Jewish former prime minister to jail. That is not an apartheid. The Declaration of Independence of the State of Israel enshrines equality.
What kind of justification for the land grab from the West Bank if you say that it's not an apartheid state that gives Israeli rights over Palestinians?
One has to decide in relation to disputed territories whether you apply the law of Israel or different laws to that area. And under the laws of occupation, different laws are frequently applied to a different area. So should you consider it occupied territory, it is bound not to have the same laws. And indeed, with areas A, B and C in Judea and Samaria or the West Bank, whichever you prefer to call it, there are differences in how people are governed because there was an agreement between Israel and the Palestinian Authority to try to cede some level of autonomy to the Palestinians. We have seen in Gaza, which is the closest we get to a self-governing Palestinian state, with no Israelis in it, with no Jews in it, with no Jewish corpses in it, they exhumed them when they evacuated, just what the Palestinians used that autonomous area for. It was to attack the Jewish state.
Quiet.
Order, order. Please do not make fun of immigration unless the scandal gives you away.
There is only one Middle Eastern country where Jews and Arabs in great number coexist. It's called Israel. Indeed, it was the attempted moderation and normalization of other Arab states that caused the Palestinians to invade Israel to try to scupper the prospect of a Middle East which could have Jews living peacefully inside it, which other Arab states were pleased to try to embrace. The society that was built in Gaza reflects the tragic choices that the people and leadership there made. Like all genocidal regimes throughout time, they educated their children for hatred, fostering a culture where ordinary people could be complicit in atrocities against their near neighbours, which is what we saw on October the 7th. Like the Rwandan teacher who bludgeoned children to death by grabbing them from the feet and slamming them against the wall, I watched a Gazan civilian in sandals on his own video footage from his phone trying to decapitate a Thai worker in an Israeli kibbutz using a hoe. This is attempted genocide.
Point of information. Is your argument that Israel, while murdering and taking control of Gazan Palestinian civilians, is not committing genocide or apartheid because it simply didn't mean to?
It is a perfectly valid question. Israel is not murdering, by the way. Under the laws of genocide, under the legal definitions in the Genocide Convention, it isn't possible to accidentally commit a genocide. Genocide, as I said, genocide requires intent. What you will find if you study genocides is that in all agreed documented historical genocides, the society has visions of a utopic future where the other who is attacked is somehow seen as dirty and inferior, and there is a coordinated plan to try to eliminate them and get rid of them. Collateral damage in a war, however ugly, is not the same thing. No. I will try to make time because I have taken points and there have been a lot of interruptions and I would like to finish. I appreciate your patience. I simply want to say that all of this genocidal act that took place on October the 7th is the result of a choice for hatred and a choice for apartheid among Palestinians. You will not find Palestinian-controlled territory where Jews are allowed to live. That is apartheid. And this, no. This hatred is deeply rooted in a culture which instills from childhood hatred. While Israeli children are taught in schools of a fantasy time when they won't need to serve in the army, or a time, I'm going to finish my entire speech, when there will be a time when they do not need to enter the army, when they will live, no, in coexistence with their Arab neighbours. It is not the case in Palestinian-controlled lands. I have held in my own hands the UNRWA, UN textbooks, which teach Palestinians maths with, if I have five Jews and I kill three, how many are left?
Sit down! Sit down! Be quiet! Be quiet!
It is my job to get the house order, not the speaker's job to get the house order. A point of information should not be made unless the speaker accepts.
I interviewed a woman who had survived the massacre in Kibbutz Nachal Oz. She told me how her husband had run the agricultural work there and employed dozens of Gazan Palestinians who entered Israel every day and earned five times what they could in Gaza, helping them to support their families.
Sounds like apartheid.
She said to me, nobody needs to teach us about coexistence because we have been living it for years. After the genocidal attack of October the 7th, she said, we can never do that again. The acts that were carried out by Palestinians on that day set back the cause of coexistence. The hatred that drove those attacks was not motivated by territory or politics. It was religiously based. The attackers themselves told me that. They proudly streamed videos while they were attacking. Watch the videos. I did. I'll quote, Allahu Akbar, even if 1,000 of us die for Islam, even if 2,000 die for Islam, the time of the jihad nation has arrived. They weren't calling for peace or coexistence. They weren't calling for two states. They were calling for jihad, a holy war aimed at the Jews.
Information?
No. That is apartheid, that is genocide, and that was not Israeli. So, to close, I'm hoping that in this audience there are some people with open minds. And I'd like you to think critically. It's easy to live in the feedback loop of what you already think you know and believe. It's easy to repeat what you've been told again and again and allow it to reinforce prejudices. But truth often lies outside those loops, in the uncomfortable and necessary area of challenging things you think you know. So tonight I ask you to dig deeper. And I don't want to reduce this debate to slurs and slanders. True discussion and collaboration are only possible among people of goodwill, those who genuinely seek peace and coexistence. And that's why I think we have to reject the people who weaponize these words of justice in order to inflame and divide. Israel's story is not one of apartheid and genocide. It is one of survival against relentless hostility. To see this clearly is to stand for truth and justice and the possibility of peace.